Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Some people have all the elements of success, education, skills, integrity, motivation, but can't seem to move from effectiveness to excellence in their careers. Behavior expert Joe Navarro reveals a long-sought answer. Louder Than Words, his wonderful book, teaches us how to master nonverbal intelligence, the ability to interpret and use nonverbal signals and poker terms, quote, unquote, tells in business to assess and influence others. Joe Navarro is the author of the popular books That Everybody Is Saying and Phil Hellmuth Presents Read 'Em and Reap. For 25 years, he was an FBI counterintelligence special agent and supervisor specializing in nonverbal communications. He lectures internationally and consults with Fortune 500 companies, as well as the FBI, the U.S. State Department, and other members of the intelligence community. He frequently appears on major media, such as Hardball with Chris Matthews, at Today Show, the CBS Early Show, CNN, and Fox News. He lives in Tampa, Florida. Joe, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
It's great to be here, Lisa.
Yeah, it's great to have you here, Joe. I absolutely loved your book. And, you know, in the introduction to your wonderful book, Louder Than Words, you write, quote, "We are all innately equipped with extraordinary yet seldom used powers of discernment and influence, as well as the potential to achieve great things." And you go on to say, quote, "I have observed, studied, and learned with continued awe the power of nonverbal to convey quintessential truths about ourselves." So, Joe, what have you learned about yourself, and how has that allowed you to help others learn about nonverbals? And what are nonverbals? But that's a lot of questions. I'm just jumping right in.
That's a good question, Lisa. You know, a lot of people think of nonverbals as just body language, and certainly we do have body language, and in fact, all animals have body language. But we're also affected by things, for instance, like aromas and scents, colors, visual cues, such as a well-lit building versus a poorly lit building. And these, anything that communicates is considered a nonverbal. So that's the broad aspect of it. As to your second question, one of the things I learned very early on is that, especially in my FBI career, is that a lot of times I didn't even have to show my credentials. Just by showing up in my standard FBI blue, navy blue suit, people just assumed I was with the FBI. And you soon begin to realize that people who are in authority, and I talk about, as you know, in the book, Colin Powell, here's a man who walks into a room and commands authority, and that's before he opens his mouth. And how does he do that? And it's because of that presence, because good leaders, mirror those behaviors that say, follow me, trust me, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. You know, our mothers, or at least my mother, always yelled at me to stand up straight, stop slouching. And, you know, that's actually really good advice. That's part of that commanding presence, is standing tall. And there's a lot of other features, too.
It is. You know, standing tall, acting as though you're confident. You could be scared, but at least having a presence of confidence. We've even noted, for instance, that sometimes job applications are done over the telephone, that if you stand while being interviewed, that you're perceived as a better candidate than if you conducted the interview by sitting down. So just merely standing sort of gives your message more power.
Oh, that's so interesting. You know, another thing you write in the book that I really like is you talk about nonverbals as being more skin deep, more about the way we communicate, how we listen, and verbal mirroring. I know that you talk about the beauty dividend, and if you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, years ago, they did an interesting experiment. They took a page from a high school, and they looked at the photographs, and they said, could we predict how much these individuals will earn in the future? And what they found was those people that were perceived as better looking 10 to 15 years later were, in fact, earning more. They came to call that the beauty dividend. But what they didn't tell in that story is that it's not that we have to be, you know, look like George Clooney or Christie Brinkley. That what really affects our perception of people is good grooming, attention to the current fashion, things like that make you fit in and people want to spend time with you, that has a tremendous weight also.
Oh, yeah, that is important. Could be the most beautiful person on the block. You shouldn't lose out in business. So there are other things that you can do. That you also write, quote, mirroring, matching each other's movements and postures are the most powerful interpersonal comfort display. Now, what is a comfort display? And you have also the signs of discomfort.
Yeah, comfort displays are, for instance, a very powerful one is obviously the smile, but one that often is missed, for instance, is we tilt our heads. We actually only tilt our heads when we're very comfortable around another person. So you see it a lot in dating, a couple sitting across from each other, head tilted and so forth. Similarity in sitting, if you reach out to me, I reach out to you. If you lean towards me, I lean towards you. These are comfort displays, and of course, we reveal these to each other in real time. There's never really a delay on this, because this is how we communicate from the time we're born.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, and you know, this is so interesting in your book is that you actually go through all the, you know, specific body parts, and we don't have time to get to all of them, but what I found especially interesting was the arms, hands, and fingers. There's a lot of things that people can do, and one you talked about with the hands was high-confidence hand movements and low-confidence pacifying hand movements, because this is something I think is important, especially for business, you know, to give off the right air, you know?
You know, we look for the hands to communicate to us. And, in fact, if people feel awkward when they see a speaker and they can't see their hands. But to demonstrate that we're confident, we put our fingertips together. And this is called a steeple because it looks like a church.
Oh, okay.
And this is the most powerful display that we have of confidence. And, of course, the opposite of that would be, for instance, like hand-wringing, where we interlace the fingers and we sort of rub our hands together. And so, you know, they're very close in proximity, but distinctly different.
Mm-hmm. And then so that would be, for a low confidence, sitting on hands is...
Yeah. A low confidence display, for instance, would be excessive rubbing of the hands, sitting on your hands, biting your fingernails is something that the current Prime Minister of England is criticized for, because he actually bites his nails.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah, there's pictures of it on the Internet. And
it
demonstrates low confidence.
So,
I tell people that when you're giving a presentation or even applying for a job, make sure that your hands demonstrate confidence, because that's one of the things that we look for.
Yeah, now speaking of hands, I'm a very physical person, and for me, this is really important to remember, because I'm always touching everybody. One of the tasks of nonverbal intelligence is to discern and respect people's individual needs for distance and contact. And that's good advice, because I'm always, if I'm talking to you, I'm touching your arm. I mean, that's just me, you know, but sometimes I can tell if someone gives you a certain look, and they're like, okay, I need to give them their personal space, so...
Yeah, well, you have a good point. Yeah, and this is what Daniel Goleman was talking about in his book, Emotional Intelligence, and I talk about in Louder Than Words, is that you have to be sensitive to the space needs of other people. Many cultures, especially those around the Mediterranean, the Italians, the Greeks, the Arab world, tend to touch more and so forth, but there are cultures where touch isn't appreciated. Most people will forgive the first touch if they don't like it, but you need to avoid it if they really don't like it. And once again, they'll tell you through their discomfort displays that I don't appreciate that. But interestingly enough, about touch, the research says that, for instance, that when we touch people and they appreciate it, they care more for you. And as every waiter and waitress knows, when they touch their clients, they get bigger tips, and even bankers are now aware of the research that when people come in for loans and they touch them on their arms, they have a higher percentage of a chance of getting that loan.
Oh, that's really interesting. Now, what would be something that, let's say I'm touching someone and they don't like it, and for some reason I'm just oblivious and I wanted to be more in touch with their signs, what kind of discomfort signs might someone who doesn't like the touch give me or give person?
You may see, for instance, the arm withdrawal. Instead of the arm might just lip compression, very accurate, saying, I don't like that. You see that a lot with the President, Barack Obama.
Yes, he does do that.
I joke that it's almost like every time Joe Biden says something that he doesn't like, immediately you see the President compress. We reveal how we feel about others by squinting slightly. The opposite, obviously, when we see somebody we like and we do the eyebrow flash, is the complete opposite. So there are some signs that says, you know what, don't do that.
Oh, okay. And the other thing that, and I had the pleasure of speaking with you briefly yesterday, is the nose. I was so amazed that there was even something about the nose that you could be looking out for.
Well, you know, the nose is interesting. A lot of times when we are under stress, we'll touch our nose because the nasal passages dry out. Our mouth also dries out when we're under stress. But also we crinkle our nose upward, just like a baby does. When you try to feed a baby something that she doesn't like, we crinkle our nose upward. Even while reading a contract, you'll see people come to a paragraph they don't like, and you'll see the nose suddenly just crinkle upward, which says, this I don't like. Extremely accurate in its meaning.
Oh, gotcha. I wish, you know, we only have a minute or so left. Is there anything that you want to add? I know there's so much in your book. I have, like, 10 pages in notes.
I know. We had a great conversation yesterday. I wish we could have talked longer. I would say, you know, for people, learning about body language is really about enhancing your life. It's about learning the subtle nuances of communication. I find it very enriching. I find it very enlightening because you see the very subtle behaviors that have such tremendous meaning that I would recommend it for anybody, not just for business and so forth, but just for interpersonal communication, for communicating better with your children and communicating better with your neighbors or your workmates or whatever. It will enrich your life, I guarantee that.
Oh, I highly recommend it. Louder Than Words, Joe Navarro. This has been a pleasure. And do you have a website, Joe?
Lisa, I do. It's JN Forensics. That's JNFORENSICS.com. And I welcome visitors. I also offer a free bibliography. It's about 300 articles on body language, and they can sign up.
Oh, that's wonderful.